morning. Today is Wednesday, July the 11th. Joining us this morning, the Humboldt County Supervisor, Mr. Wilson. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's great to be here, as always.
You and Dolby come from the same cue card, guys.
Mm-hmm. I read it very carefully.
Yes, I noticed. Yes. Let's see. We are looking at allspice is our, why do they say it?
Allspice.
Does the word allspice mean the seasoning? Boy, there's a grammatical, I think. Does the word allspice mean the seasoning is a combination of all spices? I just need to put the pause in there somewhere.
I don't know.
No. Allspice is a kind of pimento.
Right. That's a pimento, right.
Dried and ground. It gets its name, however, from the fact that it tastes like a mixture of nutmeg, cloves, and cinnamon.
Oh, that's so weird because I kind of always thought that it was a mixture of those things.
Well, I guess you almost had the answer. I just had to be able to read the question properly. Huh?
I'm gonna carry that knowledge with me forever. Thanks.
Yeah, that would be if I hit the parking lot.
Pimento. My pimento loaf.
Too much fun. Too much fun. So, how's summer treating you?
It's pretty good. I actually took a week out of town just recently.
Left the phone at home.
Unfortunately, no.
Okay,
but it was okay. I had to pick up some of the kids at a music camp that they went to, and I have some friends in the Sierra Valley that we met with and hung out there for a little bit, and then came back. So it was good. It was good to get out.
Kind of refreshed then, huh?
Yeah, it was a little bit of a reset. It was nice to camp out and see a different part of California.
Are you able to do that stuff often enough?
Well, no one thinks it's often enough, I suppose.
Well, okay, yeah. But I would think that there's this inertia that says, okay, you're going to get stopped at the grocery store on Sunday afternoon. Somebody's going to ask you a question. Fine, okay, that comes with the turf. Everybody kind of expects that.
Sure.
But a lot of us, I think, are in the perspective that we've got X number of pounds of work we have to get done today.
Yep.
Okay. And by the time that's done, boy, the desk is going to be clean, and then we can start tomorrow and deal with tomorrow's.
Right.
That doesn't happen. You guys are like what I am. You know, it never ends. I mean, literally, you could work 36 hours a day, and it isn't enough.
Yeah, if I do have the opportunity to have some vacation time, which is not very often, for me anyway, I do try to like lock out some number of days at a time where I don't have any anything to interrupt the time I'm spending with my family and those sorts of things. And then that's good. But even if I have, say, maybe more than a few days that I can be away for some reason, although that hasn't happened in a while except for this time, I do have a day of check-in because I am the type of person that I'll be thinking about these things and they'll be stacking up, right? And so even if I can spend a few hours and catch up on emails and forward things that need to get forwarded, it really makes it less stressful when I return. That did happen. I mean, actually, even on this trip, I did happen to go over to Sacramento and have a few meetings one day on some issues. And so
I came back to reality.
And then I came, well, yeah, exactly. I don't know if Sacramento is really the reality.
No, out in the woods.
Right.
Back to reality. Yeah.
Right, yeah. It was great. Spent some time with some friends who had some horses and some, and just that sort of style of being out there. It was fun.
I've done that stuff in the past, you know, the check-in maybe just in the morning and just at night. But then whatever is there,
yep.
You know, if it's not just delete or forward,
yeah.
Okay, now it's starting to weigh on you.
Yep.
Now you're thinking, and now you're, whether you're sitting in a desk or at a pool side or on a river in an inner tube, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Your head is there, and that relaxation, that getaway doesn't happen.
It is kind of the bane of the modern communication, you know, connectivity for sure. And as you said, on this job, even if I say go to a 4th of July event locally or something like that, I have a certain amount of that where I'm working, right? And I'm talking to people about various issues and doing that. But I'm okay with that. I mean, that's why I like this job. I'm a bit of an extrovert, and so it works for me.
2 years in or 4 years in, that's cool.
Yeah.
Two or three decades.
I don't know.
Yeah. It can grind you. And I suppose the balance is the big thing. When Do you have anybody knocking you in the head every once in a while? Your bride doesn't count. Saying, you know, for your efficiency, get out of here. Is that something that either Amy as a CAO or anybody else is comfortable enough telling the supervisors or their department heads, say, you know, you've been going, get out of here. I got tomorrow covered. Get out of here.
Well, that hasn't happened to me yet, but I can see where that can happen for sure. In general, my wife is pretty good about letting me know when I need to refocus and on the family stuff. So I mean, whether it's mowing the lawn or whatever it is, you know, I gotta get to it and do those things and be with the kids, and I love all that stuff. So,
but to get out of the bubble.
Yeah.
And into life.
Yeah.
Just every once in a while. Yeah.
It's a constant challenge, but so is everything else.
Yeah, I suppose. I suppose. But as you're right. You know, there's more contact, more communication, more county stuff, cities banging on the county looking to the state. You know, it just, yeah. I'm enjoying leaving the phone and probably shouldn't say this, in the truck and then doing things for a couple of hours and not having it with me.
I do that.
You can call all you want. Doesn't matter. You can ring me, email. No, it ain't going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, there are times when I turn it all off and concentrate on something. Even if I'm doing some work stuff, I really have to turn off the email. I mean, I just turn off all the electronics and read.
And the dinger. Don't forget the bell.
Yeah, whatever it is, you know, and just get into and read the packet or read the report or what. I have to do that. Otherwise, I can get easily distracted by those electronic devices for sure.
Yeah, that focus thing is really kind of cool once you hit it. KINS News and Information, which we'll try in the next segment. KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:19.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music, ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio, easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music, easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times, 8:24. We're back to Talking Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, considering some of the different things that are going on at the state level, we've got some of the propositions coming up in the fall, and we got this new law and this new requirement and funding and grants. Is the job getting easier or more challenging being a supervisor?
For me, it's getting just more interesting. So I guess the challenge is throttling the amount of time I can really devote to any one thing so that I can, you know, kind of get to it all. And even then you can't get to it all, and you have to rely on other people, whether it's staff or other supervisors, to take on certain issues more than you do. So, you know, that's kind of where I'm at with that. I like the job more now than when I started, for sure. I feel a lot more comfortable in it. It's a year
because
and
your
a
knowledge
half.
Base is now more established.
Right. I mean, to be quite honest, when you're first in there, you're going to meeting after meeting after meeting, and you're getting maybe, you know, you're getting some percentage of what's coming at you, and you can't ask every 2 minutes what the next acronym is or whatever it is, and
it's not like radio,
right?
Where I could
it'll grow on you over time. So I feel like I'm at that space where I'm a lot more comfortable in that.
Well, you're at the 18-month mark.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much what they say. You start to develop a mastery.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm somewhere around this length of time.
And I was just thinking to myself this morning about, well, I had goals and things sort of written down from at the beginning of this of my term, and it's time to reorient that, kind of look at that, sort of make my own personal strategic plan about where things go from here. We had an election come up just a recent election. We'll have an election in November. The landscape definitely changes politically locally. It changes politically at the state level. And so you have to reorient your priorities
and where you're going to
spend your time. Yeah, it's fun. I do like it. Yeah, there are some challenges. Certainly, we're going to see some challenges coming up this summer with the fires. I think we've already started that, and that's I think last year was a bit of a wake up call. I mean, a real wake up call, and I think now people are really seeing the changes that are occurring at the landscape level. We're seeing all the fires that started last week. Or even the week before, my trip when I was in Sacramento, you could see six plumes of smoke coming up from Lake County.
That's the one that is that and Lobster Creek off the road.
Yeah,
it burned over areas.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, it may not have been last week, so there's a little bit of fuel that's there, but I was always under the presumption, we have a big fire, significant fire.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a lot left.
Right, the fuel load maybe
less.
So
you've got safety now for 2 or 3 years until the new stuff starts growing up again.
Well, biomass.
Obviously, this is proving not to be the case.
Biomass can accumulate fast, and it has, but it's also been accumulating for a long time because of the land use changes. I mean, native people did burn big areas, both to manage, not just for fire, they really were managing for hunting grounds, they're managing for gathering grounds, they're managing for plant species that do new shoots for fires or sprout for fires, and so for basketry and for food.
Yeah, they wanted open spaces.
For all those things, and then so that changed dramatically, and then our development patterns in the hills, so we put people in permanent places in the hills or in the woods, and so that's changed how we have to fight fires because we have to concern ourselves with those things. Some people have talked about, maybe if I just sign a paper that says, you don't have to come to my house, so I don't want to pay to be in a fire district, for instance.
Waiver.
The real problem with that is that a first responder doesn't know whether there's a kid in that house or not. And a first responder... They have a real obligation, both a moral and professional obligation, to respond to that. And so,
it may not be your house,
right?
It's the guy next door,
whatever it is, right?
And
right.
It's like, wait a minute, you can't be going off hot cold off on
right. They got to do their job, and so we have to really take that into account. And certainly, even with the fires that started late last summer, early fall, that were started from by PG&E lines, basically. And in some ways PG&E was sort of set up for that situation, in that county supervisors set up development patterns, right, and allowed for development patterns, and then required PG&E to service those areas. And so you have this situation where we create, most natural disasters are actually human-made disasters in the way of natural processes, right? So we're putting ourselves in those spaces. It's the same thing in Hawaii, where the lava flows had been there before in those areas.
Like the guy that feeds the shark and then is surprised that the shark eats the hand.
Something that affects. So we have to be really cognizant of that, and I think we are more and more becoming aware of that. And certainly climate change is a real factor in this. Last week we saw record heat all across the nation. These heat waves are creating bigger differentials, the differences in heat versus cold, and driving winds. And so we're just going to see more and more of this. And as we, as our profile of what we look at, how we respond to fire, isn't just responding to fires or trying to prevent fires, we're now talking a lot more about evacuation planning. So as these firestorms become more and more prevalent, we really have to talk about how do we move people out, and then what does recovery even look like? And different communities have different challenges with that, because Lake County is having a really hard time with recovery. Sonoma County is having a hard time, but not as much. They're a much more wealthy population in
general. More economic base going.
And more people were insured and those sorts of things, whereas in Lake County, there's a lot of retirement folks, and they just, you know, their houses were paid off. So it's hard to rebuild from that.
KINS News and Information Times, 8:30.
We do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Supervisor Mike Wilson. Talk Shop presented by CDH Painting, REDEC, American Ag Credit, and Lolita Cheese. Mike, the general plan. I mean, we talked about it.
It's over. It's done. We voted on it.
Let's look at Sonoma County now.
Okay.
And whatever their general plan is, makes allowances for certain developments in certain areas. Okay, here comes a fire. Boom, okay, landscape is now changed. General plan doesn't. Okay, fine. So we let people start building back in, and there were trees there, and now trees start coming up. At what point does government, general plan, whatever reference point we want to have, override some of that natural stuff that you were alluding to? You know, we can do the same thing here in Cotton. Okay, boom, there's a fire. A lot of the trees are now gone. And now we're kind of replacing with what we had with another generation of what was there before,
right?
Setting up the same set of circumstances for another issue down the road. How do you weigh that one?
Well, I mean, we do have different general plans. I mean, we have a different general plan than Sonoma County. Sonoma County doesn't really allow for new development in their ag and timberlands the way Humboldt County does in its general plan. It's pretty different. We principally permit residential, which is new for us, which we talked about in the past, was one of the reasons why I voted against the update in and of itself, is because we're principally permitting residential uses on all our timber and ag lands. And that what that is different than before, because before they had to be ancillary to those uses, meaning they're supposed to be something that's either caretaking for timber or part of an ag use. Now it's residential use only, and you just
so
have
if the
to supposedly
in the middle of the farm,
right,
would be okay,
right?
Okay.
But this, it's a pretty fundamental change and not something you would see happen in Sonoma County for sure.
So
and
it sets is it a different priority here, or because we have more trees and hills here than what they have there?
It's a lot of both, I guess. I mean, the priority of the politics of the general plan was to allow for development in a very liberal way, meaning it can happen most anywhere.
Loose.
And that comes with costs. I mean, it may be cheaper to build something per se, but it costs more to protect it from fire. It costs more to give it services. It costs more. So there are other societal costs.
North of Trinidad and fresh water.
For instance,
places
everywhere.
Like that, Greenwood Heights, that are just kind of,
I think the biggest,
they're mixed in.
I think some of the bigger impacts of that are really going to probably be in the areas between Arcata and Eureka up on the hillsides. The biggest pressure is probably going to happen in there because
the old Arcata Road.
Well, and kind of, yeah, and the forested hillsides that we see there. And we see more and more, as you drive between those two places, you'll see more and more of those houses popping up in that zone. But that also can be anywhere out in the hills. It's not that people living in a rural lifestyle is a bad thing, because it's good to have people living in our rural areas so that they can help maintain those spaces, because really having people there to graze land, to harvest timber, to manage the landscape is a good thing. It's just we have to be – it's just that should be really the primary zone, from my opinion, and less so just purely residential, because what happens is that it becomes very expensive to maintain that. So, but in any case, we moved on from that, and it is what it is, and we're going to live with that. But hopefully, but one of the issues that's kind of flopping out the other side of that with these fires is insurance, is that it's becoming much more difficult to get insurance on these properties. And some people are even being excluded from their insurance. They can't get insurance anymore out there, which makes it impossible to sell your house using, you know, conventional financing, right? And so these fires are having big impacts on that. So I think that, you know, other drivers will also have... We'll see changes in that.
I suppose that's almost healthy because of the amendment process and the things that can happen, that it really does then reflect how the general plan is a living, breathing document. And if it's not working out 100%,
right,
we can tweak it. It can be fine-tuned.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, it's not cast in concrete or anything like that, so that as things do change,
I'd look at
some of the basic, for me, some of the more basic things that I can understand, like traffic flow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I mean, there's all kinds of places in the region where the roads that are not designed for the traffic of today.
Yeah.
And vice versa. You know, some it's too small and too skinny and not enough space or capacity. And others, things have changed and nobody goes there anymore. Mm. But you got this big old roadway going there.
Yeah.
Some of those different changing priorities, I would think, are a bit of a challenge with government services also, as you were alluding to earlier.
Yep.
How do you anticipate marketplace decisions 10 years down the road that may or may not even be thought of today?
Well, part of it, too, is the expectations that people have that are when people expect certain services and certain quality of life relative to where they live. And so that can be a driver as well. Politically, I suppose.
Yeah, anytime you have unrealistic expectations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, come on, guys, really? That's really what you think our number one priority is going to be this week?
We're working on it.
It might be yours, but I don't think there are 135,000 others that are kind of coming in the same perspective. Managing expectations, I guess that's a challenge all the way across the board.
Yeah, and that's one of the challenges of being in a rural community. We have expectations about the roads, for instance, right? And that is a really hard expectation to manage, because we're such a low density. We have a lot more roads per capita. So, and people ask all the time, you know, they say, oh, I pay taxes, and so why doesn't the road get fixed? And so, well, you pay taxes, but the amount of tax you pay is so much less per mile of road to service you, versus, you know, as compared to other places where there's higher densities of people who, and maybe the property values are higher, so the taxes are higher, so there is more resources.
You don't have enough neighbors.
Right. Well,
to pay for.
To pay for the thing, and if people understood the cost per mile to manage roads.
That's really a stunner, isn't it?
It is a lot. And it's interesting, you know, and to the standards that we expect. So, you know, some years ago I was in Scotland and in the rural parts of Scotland, and basically everyone's serviced by single lane roads with pullouts that are about every couple hundred yards. And the expectation is you can see far enough ahead because they don't have trees there, right? But, you know, you can see far enough ahead that you pull to the side when you see traffic coming one way or the other, and you just keep driving that way. And that's how the rural roads work.
Yeah.
And that's how they keep the cost down, in a lot of ways.
Oh, too much fun. Okay, that's why tourism is so big back there, too, and buses.
And bikes.
Yeah.
You know, people are really, that's a big mode of transportation there.
Don't they
put
saddles on the sheep, too?
Not so much.
Okay. KINS, News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
SoCal just got a whole lot closer. No, we're not talking about some big, scary geological event. It's way cooler and with much less tectonic shifting. Starting in June, flying to LA will be quicker than ever with United Airlines' new nonstop flights from Humboldt County. That's right, no stops between here and there. Ascend, descend, and you're landing, like in just a couple hours. So it's kind of like LA is just down the road a piece. So what are you waiting for? Check it out at flyhumboldt.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:47. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mike Wilson. Mike, the trails that we seem to be seeing a lot in visible areas,
mm-hmm.
are there trails also going on through, like, the areas that you were alluding to earlier, the neighborhoods that have got trees and forests and creeks and things of that nature? Is there an effort there also, or are the roads just kind of getting a little bit wider so that we've got shoulders for bicycles and for folks wanting to go on walks at night?
Well, there's trail projects going on all over the place for sure. There's walkability assessments that are also happening in communities, so connecting communities. And certainly Eureka has a lot of great connectors. So, you know, the Eureka's started their waterfront trail, but now they're looking at moving up into some of their watersheds. Certainly Willow Creek is looking at doing some interesting loop trails and also walkability in Willow Creek itself. As part of Measure Z, we're funding a bit of that. Petrolia also looking at trying to connect within its community ways that people can get around, because part of what makes people feel safe is, you know, when they're outside their car is a safe place to be when they're walking. So that's interesting. There's certainly, we've talked about it in the past, there's movement with Senate Bill 1029, which is moving the North Coast Rail Authority towards I think it's the Great Redwood Trail Agency, and I think that that's a very positive move considering connectivity, and it certainly doesn't do away with the opportunity for tourist trains or anything like that. I think there's some misinformation out there about what rail banking does, because that's the tool that's being used. With that, you can do all of those things. I think what it does is it just kind of puts trails and rails on par with each other in terms of being able to pay for those things. So
if somebody wants to find out more about that, is that something that's searchable so they could
see? Yeah. There's lots of, SB 1029. One of the most important things about it is getting the funding for that, because the NCRA, it might not be an agency in a few months here, and somebody's got to take that asset over. So,
I thought you were going to say bull by the horns, but that's Fortuna, and that's next week. Thanks for coming
All
by.
Right.
See everybody tomorrow.